Welcome to the Diamonds and Pearls podcast for the woman who's creating her own path to freedom, walking in her sovereignty and creating an impact using her intuitive gifts. We will chat divine feminine energy, aligning with your purpose, and connecting with women who are here to serve as a leader and create an impact in the collective consciousness. My name is Jessica Shugart, and I'll be your host, and I'm so happy to have you part of this sisterhood, this collective, where we can rise up together. So if you're ready, let's dive right in. What's up, beautiful ladies? Welcome to another episode of the Diamonds and Pearls podcast. How are you girls doing? Thank you for tuning in. We have another guest speaker that joined me today, the other day for this podcast. I had brought on Candace Dixon. She is a certified food freedom coach and intuitive healer with a passion for helping women recover from diet culture and heal from the body. She's a champagne connoisseur and a 90s music enthusiast. She lives in Menifee, California with her 12-year-old son and their Queensland healer, Lucy. You guys, I love Candace. Candace and I have been connecting together in a panel for the Food Freedom Club over on Clubhouse. And we've been really having these beautiful conversations. I did share about this in the podcast, but this is how we kind of connected there. So I'm looking forward for you girls to hear this episode. We shared so much about food freedom, intuitive eating. We chatted about as well microdosing and a little bit about plant medicine. So it's a great episode if you're looking to kind of tap into your learning more about food freedom and doing it in a way that feels aligned for you. A lot of times I have these guests on here for my own selfish reasons, you guys, because I want to learn about the topic. So I'm sure that this would be something that will interest you as well. But we talked about a little bit about my history and my belief system around food and kind of just some of the things that I've developed and that I've moved through. So I'm still learning too in this process, you guys. Like I'm always learning. I'm always wanting to improve, and just really find my truth in this process. And the key here is to always tune into your intuition in this process. Really learning and connecting with your body and what she's telling you. And I've been really talking with you girls a lot about embodiment practices, and we dive into this in the episode as well. So I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Before we get started, I just want to share a couple of things. We are going into September. I do have one-on-one Reiki sessions available. These are remote sessions. If you're local to me, I am offering in-person Reiki sessions as well. And my one-on-one mentorship. So if you're wanting to go deeper in this work and wanting to tap into your feminine energy, tap into connecting with your body and your wisdom, learning how to empower yourself and connect with your mission and your why, and as well, implementing this energy alchemy in your work, in your process, we will connect and do that as well. So I have some spots open. I'm opening up for one-on-one for September. So if you're wanting to go deeper in that, message me over on Instagram, or you can email me. I'll put all the information in the bio, or head to my website, jessicashugart.com. So hope you girls are doing amazing and enjoy the episode.
So if you're interested in kind of learning more about, how you can manifest your health and your food journey and healing that, make sure to come join us, over there at Clubhouse. I'll share the information as well. So Candace is going to share about, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Well, the biggest piece of my story is just around my eating disorders. I struggled with body dysmorphia since puberty, which developed into four different eating disorders. Unfortunately, my story has very deep roots with disordered eating, a lot deeper than most of the women I work with. Fortunately, most of the women I work with don't actually have gotten to the point of having extreme disordered eating. But generally, the women that I work with do struggle with binge eating, which is handled, there's an eating disorder level of binge eating, and there's kind of this like societal acceptance around binge eating. that those are kind of handled a little bit differently. So I'm really targeting the clients that I work with. I target both, but I have a group coaching program that targets binge eating specifically to teach women that, you know, this cultural acceptance around binge eating is actually disordered. And it's actually the cycle of binging and restricting is what's keeping us trapped. So my story runs so deep around all of that. And my methodology is really designed to simplify that process of all of the work that I've had to do over the years to sort out this whole food freedom journey. And how do you stop disordered behaviors? It's so difficult to even know that you're acting in a disordered way around food, because it's so common. Everybody does the stuff that we do. So basically my mission is really helping women to empower themselves by becoming self-aware, knowing that the things that we've been conditioned to do in our society are not, they're actually causing our dysfunction. They're causing our suffering. And give them some tools and some methodology to really figure that out on their own, because I don't believe that food freedom or healing disordered eating looks a certain way for anybody. We need some stepping stones that we can kind of leap through to be able to figure it out on our own, because it's intuitive and it's different for everyone. So my whole thing is really that, you know, you're allowed to desire weight loss. You're allowed to desire to walk the earth on a lighter frame. That's kind of the reason we all got into the binge eating problem to begin with, is because we want to be in lighter frames. And I think that the shame around weight loss holds us back and keeps us stuck in that cycle as well. So my program is really designed for women who don't align exactly with the body positivity movement, as far as like not really being able to have all this love for their bodies at the start. Like, that's not really what it's about. When we have body dysmorphia and body image issues, it's not about love. It doesn't start with positivity. It starts with neutrality. So we start with neutrality. We work towards acceptance. And the end result of that is reclaiming our bodies as our own, so that we don't have to feel one way or the other about them, but still achieving sustainable transformation, if that's what's right for you.
I love that. Wow. So you've been through a lot in this journey, like, for yourself. So this is like what makes you the expert in this like topic. So I wanted you to just share a little bit more about that body positivity versus body reclamation. I feel like that in itself is just a powerful way to kind of just move, like, look at your life and look at your body and look at your image. And I agree with you. I think that there's so many different society things that have been put on us about our body image. You know, I've come from like a background of like modeling, and the whole industry is so, it's just so warped. Like, there's just so many beliefs and things that have changed. Also, I feel like there's a lot of liberation around this body image. People are starting to show more curves, and they're starting to appreciate like their, you know, all the things that make them different. So how would you if somebody was on this journey and they were like, okay, well, it's not about body positivity. What does that mean? Like, how can I reclaim my body? Like, how can I appreciate and really do this work in a way that feels good to me? Versus doing it like how everyone else has been doing it, and it doesn't work. Like, it's like you've tried the diets, you've tried the different things, and it's not working. So what would you say for that girl?
I love this question. What I would say to this woman is, you get to decide your own path. You get to decide your own journey. It is not black and white. We've been led to believe that there's clear differences between healthy and unhealthy, and that that's defined by thinness and fat. And that's just not the truth. So what we actually have to start doing when we're approaching this topic is we have to look our fear in the face. The fear is that we're going to gain weight. The fear is that we're going to blow up and get fat. That's why we have to keep ourselves in check. That's why we have to go on these diets and every so often, you know, check in on ourselves so we don't blow up and become gluttonous. Like, that's the belief system that we're operating off of. That's not the truth, actually, though. What we have to remember, or what we get to remember, is how we ate when we were children. How we ate when we were children, it doesn't require control. Eating actually doesn't require control. We forgot that. We just get to remember that our bodies already know how to eat. So if we're not eating for purposes of losing or gaining weight any longer, and we're simply learning how to eat like we did when we were kids again, for fullness and satisfaction, and getting back in touch with our hunger cues and unlearning all the societal conditioning around holding off on your hunger, starving yourself, you know, only eating certain things instead of the things that you actually crave. When we can eliminate all of that, then you get to decide for yourself what your journey looks like and what's going to happen for you at the end. Because truthfully, what we got to focus on is the healing of the relationship with food, not the controlling of the behaviors around the food. So what's the intention behind the consumption? Are we trying to control what's going on in our bodies because we think that that's going to change our appearance? Or are we trying to eat with purpose so we can live into our well-being goals, into our intentions of well-being? So I think to answer your question overall around this, the woman who's on the fence about not feeling good about her body, she gets to look her fear in the face and know that the other side of this journey might mean she has to gain a couple pounds on the way to healing this issue. And that by approaching that fear in the face, she can shed all of the judgment she's had around her body for herself. So think about the times where you might've lost, you know, you being in the model world, you've lost and gained weight probably a lot, where you have to drop weight quickly, or, you know, we're really used to having to shed pounds and lose it, but then we regain it. So if we want to release it, if we want to really release it, we can't subscribe to these thinkings of like lose weight fast, quick fixes type of things. We have to get to the root of the actual issue and know that losing that 20 pounds is not the thing that's going to make us feel better. We've all lost the 20 pounds and still felt unconfident, right? We've all lost the 20 pounds and still had things that we pick apart our bodies like crazy. Like, oh, well, there's still this little pinch, or there's still these rolls, or there's still like the cellulite or whatever. Mm-hmm. So by facing that fear in the face and going, you know what? I am scared of getting fat. I am. And I don't like my body. In fact, I loathe my body. Probably a lot of us really hate our bodies. So it's not easy to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I feel positive and all these affirmations and all this stuff when you've been living a lifetime of self-loathing, of hate, of a misunderstanding inside of your body. So we get to look that fear in the face and know that on the other side of that, there is liberation from our flaws, from our imperfections, from the things that are going to keep us raising the bar on ourselves. Okay, you lose the 20 pounds. We all know what happens. You want to lose another 20 pounds and another 20 pounds and another. And that's just not the route, right? We're trying to reclaim. This is the thing that gets to carry our energy for the rest of our lives. This is a skin suit that we've been gifted with, that we're responsible for keeping healthy for our time here. So we get to reclaim that regardless of what anybody else thinks or wants for us or thinks is the truth or has ideas around or their experiences. We get to take what we can from other people's experiences for sure, learn what we can with our logical mind, but get back to reclaiming that what we actually want for ourselves and our journey and our body for ourselves. If that means you need to be in a lighter frame to feel comfortable in your skin, you get to have that right. But the way there is not through controlling your fear around fat, is not through controlling your food more. It's through facing the fear in the face and saying, yes, I am fucking scared to gain weight. Like, yeah, I really am. I'm scared to let go of control and doing it anyway, right? Like, that's what I want to say to this woman who is afraid who feels confused and stuck between this world of positivity telling her you should love yourself, you should just have freedom, you should just be free and it shouldn't be so hard and da 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 da. Well, that gets to be difficult for you. You get to own that. You don't have to douse yourself in positivity. You don't have to love your body even though people tell you you should. It's okay that you don't love your body right now. There's a way forward for you that doesn't involve black and white thinking, that involves you thinking for yourself.
I love this, because I feel like this has a lot to do with, you know, like, I love what you said about the positive affirmations, because there's like this disconnect often when we start saying these affirmations where we're like, you know, I love myself, I'm enough, I'm worthy, all these things. Right. And then, yeah, deep down in our subconscious mind, like, we don't believe these things. Right. And sometimes we have to really do that work. Like, we have to really be honest with ourselves, like you said, like, what's really coming up for me around like my body weight and how I look and how I feel, and not just be like, oh, everything's great, you know. So we have to really, like, I love what you said about facing that fear, you know, and looking at it and seeing like, okay, let's be honest with this. So like, with this honesty, like this vulnerable language that we can use and just really look at ourselves, do you think that really shifts, like, you know, like how we can move into loving our bodies, like, and appreciating, you know, like where we are in our journey, because, you know, it's so true. We're all at different journeys, and what may feel good to me may feel different for you. Right. So everyone has this like desire, this like intuitive knowing of like how they want to feel. And I think it gets so like clouded, right? We get so clouded from like social media and like what we, our upbringings and like, you know, how we're supposed to look and all these different things that like everyone says we should feel about our bodies. Right. So it's like, you know, being that, bringing that self-awareness, like, and that compassion to ourselves. And then also like honesty, like what's really coming up for me around this. Right.
Absolutely.
And getting to that root. So what's that next thing? So when you get to that, acknowledging it, what's the next thing?
So many, I'm really glad you brought this up, because so many women, that one of the things that I noticed the biggest blocks for them coming into this work is that they're on board. They're okay. I understand I need to change my life. I need to change my thinking. It's mindset work, affirmation, spirituality. They're getting into all of this stuff, but they forget that when we're talking about fear, we're talking about a conversation between the brain and the nervous system, between the mind and the body. So if we're only doing mindset work, if we're only shifting our thinking and practicing affirmations and shifting the way that our thoughts work, the body still remembers the fear. The body still remembers the patterns that you've developed. So often when you start to eat and say, I'm allowed to have this, I'm giving myself permission to have this, and you're trying to shift your thinking around, I'm worthy of the body that I desire, and I don't need to be afraid of this transformation. You're telling yourself all these things, but your body's remembering the patterns that you're still engaging in. So embodiment is the answer here. Absolutely. 100%. Because, that's through somatic work, that's the piece that a lot of people miss, is that we get to call these experiences, these thoughts into our bodies and hold them and work with those energies. So it's so much more than, you know, if you're beating your head against the wall, 'cause you're reading self-help books and you're listening to podcasts and you're watching TED Talks and you're like, yeah, this is all making sense. This whole food freedom thing is great and intuitive eating. But again, you still feel lost. You still feel like you're just not getting it. You're not making any headway. Your body remembers. So the embodiment piece is so important. It's actually pivotal, because when you engage in, for example, so many people are unwilling to drop their exercise routines because we're being told movement is important. We need to move our bodies every day. We should, it feels good. And sure, it does. It releases feel good chemicals. Yeah, it does. But if you are engaging in exercise routines for the purpose of changing your body, and you've been doing this your entire life, and then you begin to dabble in doing that in a healthy way again, trying to reassociate your relationship with that, it's natural for your body to kind of buck a little bit and go, no, I remember all the hate that this is stored in here. I remember all of the self-loathing that was being perpetuated on this bicycle or, you know, whatever it is that our choice exercise routine was. So I think bringing this all back to the bigger picture around intuition, it's coming back to that place between the desire voice, the soul voice, and the fear voice. Society tells us all the fear and all of the shoulds and all of the things. And of course, we've naturally developed patterns that fit into that society, because that's what it means to be human. We don't want to be rejected. It's very scary to go against the grain and have your own thoughts and be judged for that. To be not accepted is very scary. So it's natural for us to gravitate towards external validation and, you know, mute our desires and not be in contact with what our soul voice actually is. But I think that it's important for us when we're coming into this journey to acknowledge that. Again, look the fear in the face. The fear is the thing that's blocking you from your desire. And your desires are the truth. Your desires are not anything that you've ever desired is what's meant for you. You're not given desire as some kind of a sick game, you know, by the universe. Like, desire is actually your soul's voice. It's actually the inkling, the feeling you need to have in your body, inside of your body. It's the feeling you need to have, that openness, that yes, that's the desire. And that's the soul telling you what's in alignment for you, what you should follow. So by us telling ourselves we should shame ourselves for it as our desires, push it away, believe what everybody else is thinking and feeling, we're subscribing to fear. We're choosing fear at that point. So when we look the fear in the face and say, this is BS, this doesn't make any sense for me, I get to look the fear in the face every time it comes at me, not pushing it away, not acting like it's not there. The goal is not to be fearless. It's to see the fear and do it anyway. That's really what the goal is. See the fear, know it's scary to be human, know it's scary to be authentic, know it's scary to have your own voice and choose your own path. Do it anyway. Do it anyway, because the choice, the otherwise, your the other choice is just continuing to live in fear, continuing to give your life away to others' expectations of you. And that's what's keeping you stuck in the struggle and the misery, because pain is inevitable. It's inevitable part of life. You're going to have the fear. You're going to have the worry and the pain around that. Mm-hmm. But the struggle is unnecessary. That's learned. We've learned how to stay trapped in the struggle. So by looking that fear in the face, we can choose our intuition and we can trust that our desires are there for us. We don't have to shame ourselves for our desires. Right? Does that answer your question?
I love this. Yes. Okay, no, good. So much. Good. I was just talking, I'm like all about our desires. And I was just talking about this yesterday, but it, not relating to food, but just like in general. And, you know, when we're tying this into food and our body image, I feel like it's true. Like what, like exactly what I was just saying, what might look good for someone else or feel good to someone else, it will be different for you. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. So either desire is okay. And like you said, we get to choose, we don't have to like feel guilty or shame for wanting those desires. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to feel like healthy and wanting to lose some weight, like there's no shame in that. Right. And then there's no shame in you wanting to eat or like have pleasure in your food and maybe not be super thin, you know, like
right. Just
feeling comfortable in your body. Right. So it's like that beautiful, intuitive knowing, like we know, like you said, we know deep within what feels aligned for us. And I think we have put so much shame on ourselves around this, around wanting to look or feel a certain way. And it just doesn't align. Right. And then we just carry all the shame in our bodies. And I love what you said about the embodiment piece, because it's true. Our body does know. And I think this is the part that we all like to skip. This is yep. The part where we're like, shit, I don't want to feel this. Right. Or like, let me just skip the embodiment piece because this is what's coming up for me. And I think there's something that I need to work through here.
Yes. So
what are some embodiment things that we can kind of work on around food? Like what are things that came up for you that maybe we can kind of work on? I know for myself, like I'm just going to be totally transparent. Like I never really had a huge like issue with the food thing, but I did in the sense that like my body image, I felt like it had to be a certain way. Like I felt like because it was in the modeling industry, I had to look a certain way. I had to feel a certain way. And if I wasn't meeting those requirements, I wasn't going to be able to be in this like industry. Right. So I put a lot of pressure on myself around being thin. Right. But as I started to really love myself and go deeper into this practice of like being who I am, it doesn't matter if I'm thin. Like if I choose to be thin, it's not for anybody else. It's for myself. Like I just want to feel good in my body. And so anyway, so yeah, so the embodiment part was a lot of it. To this day, I have to ask myself, like, what do I need? Like, am I eating because I'm just bored or because I'm avoiding something I should be doing or I should. So I'm definitely aware of like my habits, like the things that I do, because then I don't feel good after I just stuff down a bag of potato chips. Like I just don't feel good, you know, and like those little things, like I'm more aware, you know, but I think it's a journey. It's a process of like learning to love myself, learning to love my body, feeling the things, allowing myself to eat what I want. Like I don't put restrictions on myself on my diet. Like I eat what I want. Like it's just how it is. And I don't feel bad for having a slice of pizza, but there were times where I definitely did feel guilty for certain things. So I learned to kind of deal with that. So anyway, so just to get to the point of what I'm saying is the embodiment piece. What are things that like we can do if we feel like triggered or we feel like, you know, oh, this is wrong. I can't eat this or, you know, and I'm wrong for wanting what I want. What are some embodiment things that we can kind of work through?
So it gets embodiment gets, as you know, we work through embodiment in layers. It gets very advanced And it needs to start from a very basic place. So sure, there are practices you can use. Sure, there are techniques you can use when it comes to embodiment. And that all gets to happen for you in your journey when you're ready for that to happen. But what I believe where we need to start is really with presence around judgment, presence around patterns specifically, because embodying presence, embodying mindfulness, is the only way we can become self-aware. But if we're thinking like, oh, if I'm being hyper aware, if I'm thinking with my mind and being hyper aware, that's different from being present in my body, right? So if I'm constantly like in the moment of my day to day, looking for things that can go wrong, trying to keep everything in motion, trying to live up in my head and keep everything up organized and all the balls in the air and all this stuff, then I'm not being present. I'm actually just being hyper aware. I'm living in my mind. So I want to practice embodying presence inside of my body. I want to practice actually tapping in. I call it dropping in to our center. And that's something we practice often, but we're really trying to get out of our heads and just drop into our body. That's the simplest form of embodiment. And you using your breath, using your visualization, you know, there's a lot of different anchors you can use. You can use color. You can use a lot of different things, and that's different for everybody, honestly. So my place that I always start is really that embodiment of presence in the moments where you can catch yourself living in your head, in the moments where you can catch yourself overthinking. And again, it's a practice. It's not, we've been conditioned this way for a long time. So where I like to start with this is judgment. It's really judgment. So when we notice what we're thinking and what we're spiraling out about, it's usually because we've decided in advance that whatever we're doing is wrong, or we should be doing something different. There's always a lot of should conversations happening there that are keeping us trapped in our heads. And so when we're in our body, we can really see the truth differently. We can really release the judgment, because the truth is judgment is an illusion, the same way control is, the same way balance is, and all these other things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. No one gets to judge anyone. That's no one's responsibility. There's no such thing as right or wrong, because everything is perfect for everyone in every moment. And that's constantly changing. That's constantly changing. My truth in this very moment, the way that I'm eating now, what's right for me now, what I'm living into in this moment is going to change, because I'm made of organic material and I'm a human being and I don't have to subscribe to this way of thinking forever, right? So literally the piece around judgment itself, we got to bring presence to that first. We have to embody the presence to be able to know what the truth is. The truth is the antidote for judgment. So if we're judging ourselves, we're going to stay trapped in that. And we have to feel that in our body. You can't just go, oh, this is like the next right step for me, I think, because then you're left wondering, right? You're still left not believing yourself. You're still left doubting. But when you feel the truth inherently in your body, you know, you don't have to worry. You don't have to have that doubt and look outside of yourself for reassurance. Is this the right thing? Do you think this is the right thing? What do you think? Like, let me do some research. Let me read about it. No, you know, you feel it in your body. Because judgment is removed from the conversation around that at that point. You get to choose, you get to feel what feels good for you from that place. Mm. And so something that you said that I wanted to speak to was, you know, you get to choose if you want to be thin. And while I do believe that our desires are sovereign, no one can take our desires from us. They are our desires. I like to challenge women who desire thinness, because what we actually want to shift away from is the end result being thin or fat or otherwise, and shift the end result into being achieving your natural shape. What is your natural shape? Because everybody has a natural shape. Everybody has a natural set point weight that their bodies inherently like to live in. So, you know, you can eat and through the seasons of life, you can eat more during certain seasons and less during other seasons. You can fluctuate. You can move between, you know, a window of weight and still love yourself, still be in a shapely, beautiful frame, still have a natural shape, a feminine shape. So most women do desire the thinness, and that gets to be there. You get to want thinness, but you also get to remember the truth of the beauty of your actual natural body. Once it starts to take form, when it starts to take form and the weight does start to release and melt off of our bodies, we start to really disassociate from all of the thin conversation and the numbers on the scale and the sizes we thought we needed to be. And we start to understand that our beauty is inherent, and that our shape gets to continue to become more and more natural, more and more in tune with what's meant for us. Because at that point, we're not managing our weight. You can continue to, you can choose unnatural thinness if that's your choice, but you're having to micromanage that for the rest of your life. You're the same way you would have to dye your hair, you know? So it's a choice that everybody can make, absolutely. But I challenge women inside of my program to get curious about what the desire actually is. Is that really the truth? Is thinness the thing that you really need to be satisfied? Because on the topic of satisfaction, I believe that when we're talking about binge eating, the whole problem is missing out on satisfaction. That's the whole issue. We don't know how to be satisfied because we've never practiced what it feels like to be satisfied. And so that's a whole fuel tank around, like what I call in my program is the fuel tank. We call that our fuel tank. We're not just trying to fill our stomachs to the point of uncomfortable fullness or starvation or one way or the other. We're really trying to gauge our entire fuel tank as our being, our spiritual, mm-hmm. our spirituality, our emotions, our truth, all of it. And when I'm living in alignment with my values, when I know what is right for me and what I want, then I can take actions that satisfy that path for me. That means I get to feed myself with things that bring me joy. That means I get to feed myself with things that bring me comfort emotionally. It also means I get to live with purpose and eat with intention for my health goals. It also means I get to slow the F down and rest and not hustle. It also means, you know, all these other things that lead to satisfaction overall, the overall picture of satisfaction. But we've been suppressing all of that for so long, our internal desires, our intuition, our inner voice, our needs, all of this stuff. We've been suppressing all of that, that we don't know what satisfaction means. We think it just is food. We think, oh, I'm often we're hungry, we're exhausted, whatever. And we just feed ourselves. And so, yeah, that's like kind of a roundabout way to touch on all of those topics, but.
No, I love this. It's so good. Yeah. And I agree 100%. I think for myself, I'm just speaking for myself, but I think the more that I realized that I was focusing on being thin, you know, like it didn't really make me feel good. Right. So it was more of like, I was doing it because I had to be a certain way. Right. Because that's what I was told that I had to be for modeling. And the thing was, it's like, I got to a place where, and I'm sure there's a lot of women, they fluctuate. Like you said, we go up and down with our weight. I've come to a place where I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Like if I'm a little bit curvier and I feel good about myself and, you know, I don't have to. And I think the thing is, it's like when you're like tall and you're like thin, it's like, you almost like wonder, like, there's a lot of, that can come up, like people, like you think they're going to judge you because you're like, some people's metabolisms are different. Everybody's body is different, you know? And yes. it's not that like someone's starving themselves or they're not eating. I eat a lot. Like I eat a lot of food. Like I do. And there's just times where, but I love to eat. Like I enjoy it. I love to eat. And I'm sure that a lot of women can relate to this, you know,
rightfully so. You should. Food is detrimental to life. Why do you think that tradition and culture is so heavily rooted in food? Women beat themselves up. Thanksgiving is like the hardest time inside of my group because it's like, oh my God, I want to eat. I want to enjoy it. And I'm just like, it's the best, the hardest and the best for me because food is life. Food is life. And what you're talking about right now, all the shoulds and all of the, like all of these things, these are so normal, but remember bringing it back, it's judgment. It's learned, brainwashed judgment. It's not even your judgment. You know, when you look at fat people and you think, oh, they must be gluttonous and disgusting and eat all the time. And they must be lazy and they must all of these things, you know, in your heart, that's not the truth. You know, in your heart that they could have other health issues, that they could have generations behind them of heavier bodies, bigger bodies. Mm. Like you said, tallness, like that, women who are tall usually try to overcompensate with their weight in one way or the other. That's super common. But how do you think heavier bodied women feel, bigger bodied women feel, like they're having to get dressed and all like all done up and everything, you know, when you overcompensate for all kinds of things. Yep. People in smaller bodies overcompensate. Like we have no business judging how someone got to look the way that they look, and try to make ourselves feel better because we think if we can figure out how they got that way, we can avoid getting that way. And that's just not the truth. It's crazy. We can't go around judging other people or ourselves.
Right. This goes exactly with what you just said about the judgment piece. Yeah. Like I think there's so many women, in general, generational, we've been doing this for generations. You know, we've been judging people and how they live and how they show up and how they choose to live their life. Right. It's the same thing with food. I love that you bring this awareness to this, because I think a lot of women are not used to having this conversation, like around food. No. And we're aware of it around the other areas, like our spiritual life and our physical, our spiritual life is a huge part of our personal development. The food is also part of this development as well. So, I just love what you share, all the things that you're sharing about, like getting into your body, feeling it, because I'm all about the embodiment part, allowing yourself to move through it. And I think nobody's perfect. Like I definitely, I'm aware, like there's things that I'm still working through, especially as I'm aging. I feel like there's a lot of things that come up, and it's like, you know, we put so much pressure on ourselves, you know, sometimes. And it's like, you want to feel good, but also look good. And it's like, okay, let's step back. Let's really see what the real issue is here. What's the truth? And I love what you said that. And that's the truth. When we come back to who we are at our core and getting into that, our bodies, right? And coming back to our energy, like who we are, like that's where the truth is right there. So I love, love, love that you shared that. Okay. So I want to dive into a couple more things. I would love for you to share. So if you guys follow Candace on Instagram, she did a little live on her experience with microdosing. And I wanted her to kind of tap into this a little bit, because I've actually been looking into it. I've had some conversations with my husband, and we've been kind of talking about it. And I just feel like it's becoming more of a thing that we're really hearing more about. The benefits of microdosing, you know, how it affects your health, how it affects your spirituality, just like your whole holistic, you know, being. And I'm all about the energy work, and I'm all about mind, body, and soul. So I would love for you to share your experience around this, Candace.
Absolutely. This actually feeds in really well to what you were just talking about around your truth and who you are and coming back home to yourself, because that's what we're doing when we're on a food freedom journey. We're no longer trying to micromanage our behaviors in the external world. We are trying to get back in touch with who we are inherently at our core as a human being, our soul, our love and light, our unconditional essence, all of that good stuff. And the reason we're disconnected from that is because of our societal, parental, cultural conditionings. And a lot of that is our own internalized attachment styles, survival patterns, all kinds of stuff that we developed as children. And that runs so deep. Often it's before you're even 4 years old, you've developed these patterns. So people think that they're unaffected by the way they were raised or the way they were brought up, but it's actually fundamental in what you're doing as an adult, what you're doing as a grown, evolved woman. So I love plant medicine because what it does is it puts us back in touch with that truth, with wholeness, with completion, the fact that we're already whole. It brings us, it removes the veil. When we're using it for microdosing purposes, it's a little different, but when we're using it for healing purposes, it gives you the capacity to feel oneness inside of your body, to feel connected to the truth that we are all one, that there's no such thing as separate. That's actually an illusion. Separateness is an illusion. Your wellness means my wellness. Really, the way you can think about this, what the medicine wants us to know is that the healing of one is the healing of all, and the healing of all is our collective duty. That's what the medicine wants us to know. And it brings us back in touch with that remembrance of, oh yeah, I'm here actually to help everyone heal. Like that's what we're really here to do. Being human is painful, and we're all here to heal through that. And we need to help each other. So the medicine is amazing because it lowers that veil, that illusion, and it really gets you into communication with your ego. Your ego is the veil. Your ego is the thing that's keeping you separate from others. Your ego is the thing that's maybe not even building you up all the time. Maybe you don't think you have a big ego, because if you think of somebody who has a big ego, usually they're like really big headed and stuff. But people who are small have very big egos. People who play small, who shrink themselves down, have big egos, because it's loud. It's telling them all kinds of stories. And so the medicine can help you really stop that ego. It can put you into places where you can understand it differently inside of your body and clear it from the conversation, so it stops halting you and how you actually want to show up in your authentic truth. So that's if you're using it on, you know, a medicinal level, which I encourage in my work often. As long as you're practicing in a safe container with a shaman or a medicine woman or someone else that can help support you through that journey, that's a beautiful experience. And actually, it's almost necessary in some cases, because when we have severe trauma, our bodies and our nervous systems can block us off from feeling and make our bodies very, very numb. And it's very difficult to even access the felt sense inside of the body. It's very difficult to even access the pain that's been trapped and locked in the numb sensations. So the medicine can help open the emotional body. It can help you access places you can't access on your own to feel the things you need to feel and clear and release the traumatic pain and the literal lesions that are stored inside of your body and your brain. And so that's on a journey level. That's on, you know, a really, where if you were to go on a journey through the medicine. But for microdosing, it's amazing because you're not taking an amount that's going to affect your, it's not making you high. Let's say that it's not making you high. You're going to take a smaller amount. And that's amazing because you don't feel anything except for clarity. The chemicals that the mushrooms give us create a reaction in our body, and they rewire our neural pathways. They rebuild cellular structure in the body. So again, those lesions and the actual trauma and the actual pain is being healed. Like, it's almost like supercharging. So if you think about, if you're on a healing journey, microdosing is a great thing for you to try. If you're just starting out on your healing journey, I like to encourage you to do your own work, do the work, approach it, feel the hardness of doing the work, you know, feel that on your own, and then start thinking about what it might look like for you to introduce some microdosing into your world, because you don't want to just take a pill and think that that's going to help, you know, you do all the healing. You want to get to a place where you're doing the healing and the microdosing is helping support the healing that's happening in the body. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when you're moving your energy throughout the way that you do your life, throughout the way that you show up, if I'm doing my breath work in the morning and I'm activating that centered sense of self, that highest essence inside of me, and I take if I microdose with that, that gives me greater access to my emotional body and my intuition. And that allows me to stay in alignment with that essence for the rest of the day for a little longer. But if you're not, if you're coming and starting your day from a place of self-hate and, you know, judgment and the ego is not in check and all of these things, and then you microdose, you might not have the best or the same results, right? Because you're not moving through your day in the same way. So it's, again, it's practicing rewiring. If I'm going to dedicate my day to rewiring my thinking and use plant therapy to support that, then that's amazing. But if I'm going to move through my day in the same ways I always have moved my through my day, and I'm committed to my struggle, it's not a really great idea for me to be taking plant therapies to support, because I'm not going to be rewiring anything at that point. I'm not creating neural pathways to be supported. I'm not doing the healing inside of my body. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, totally. I love this. I think, so they tie together. So doing the work with the microdosing, with the plant medicine is where you're going to get the best results of this
right. process.
So I think yeah. I'm just like bringing awareness to this. So this is, if this is new to you, like anybody that's listening, and it's very new to me. I've had a friend of mine that she just did her first microdosing experience, and she did it with a close friend, and she said she wouldn't do it with anybody else, that she felt like, you know, she wanted to feel safe, right? And that's important. We want to feel safe. Anytime we do any type of work like this, we want to create it in a safe container. And I think, well, what you're sharing here is that it's a beautiful way to kind of elevate what we're already doing. So like yes. allowing yourself to kind of open up a greater capacity of like healing, mm-hmm. being more open to what it is that you can learn from these experiences that we're going through. Is that kind of
absolutely Absolutely. And that's my belief around the responsible use of plant medicine for that purpose, because you can take mushrooms on, you know, recreationally. Sure. You could just do it for fun. You know, you could really do whatever you want to do, but if you're using it at, if you're listening to this and going, oh my gosh, this is something inside of me is telling me that this is the right thing for me. Remember that the reason it's plant therapy, the reason it's plant medicine is because it's a part of the earth, and it's actually mushrooms, you know, there's a lot of spiritual background. You want to make sure you're getting your mushrooms from a trusted source. You want to make sure that they're not, you know, that they're being, I get my mushrooms from somebody who like sings to them, writes poetry, like crystals are in the, they're not like being grown from like just shit, you know, because sometimes, so you want to research it because it's coming from the mother. It's coming from the mother, and the messages that they, that the mushrooms send you are from the mother. They're from that vibration. It puts you back again in touch with oneness, with the earth, with all of that. And so I do believe it's our responsibility when we're using a gift like this, with this kind of power from the mother, to use it in, you know, we obviously can use it in recreational. There's nothing wrong with using it recreationally, but there's so much power when we're, and again, responsibility is very important. If you're using it recreationally, make sure you are doing it with someone that you trust and, you know what you're doing and all of that. But I just think that, especially inside of a healing container, you can go through soul journeys, or, you know, actual plant therapy journeys, where you're being held and supported through the experience, where your mind might, you know, tell you things, and there's someone there to intuitively guide you through that. It's just a beautiful experience. If there's anybody that wants more information around plant therapy, absolutely, I love chatting about this. If you want to start, you can pick my brain, and my DMs or whatever you'd like. It's so fun.
I love it. I think that's, I think this is a beautiful way to integrate like your healing, you know, in your healing process and journey. So I'm still learning about plant medicine. I feel like it's a really, I'm very intrigued by it. So that's why I was like asking, I was like, I got to ask her about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband, he's like, yeah, find out all the goods. I think there's a lot of truth to what you said around, you know, who you're getting it from, the container that you're doing it in, like that kind of thing. We want to just always, the intention behind all of this work is always important. So
absolutely.
And the trauma, oh my gosh. So I had a lot of stuff that I was brought up with, and trauma that triggered a lot of things that have to do with like anything that's not the traditional spiritual. I was brought up in a very strict Christian home. So doing anything that's like, could be very triggering. So anybody that's this process, like now I feel like I can be way more open to these kind of things. But back then I was never, there was a lot of trauma that I had to kind of move through. Even like, you know, I'm an energy healer, you know, so it's like moving through a lot of beliefs and a lot of things that I was brought up to feel grounded in doing my work, right? So just feeling like doing whatever the steps I'm doing feel aligned for me, and then releasing that trauma. So yeah, that just kind of like, just wanted
I to think put you, that out there. You would do amazing with an actual journey, with an actual therapy journey, because you've already laid the foundation. You're already aware of the trauma. I went through a rebirth a couple of months ago through plant medicine, and that was completely transformative. I was already so aware of my trauma. I was already so deep into all of the healing, right? Mm-hmm. And I use the medicine again. The medicine continues to teach us more and more and more about ourselves, and was able to heal so much trauma that I was aware of consciously, trying to work through consciously as well as subconsciously, you know, and through embodiment and all these other things. But this bridge that the medicine can create for you to truly know and embody and clear and release the trauma, to understand it from a different level. I mean, generationally, we're carrying trauma from our grandmothers and tons of trauma we're carrying in our bodies. And it's just so magical how we're gifted with this medicine to be able to access those deep, deep, deep parts that we block ourselves from, even subconsciously, even in the embodiment work. So yes, highly recommend.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, you're very helpful.
And we'll definitely put your information so we can, if anybody wants to ask you more questions around this, we can reach out to you. So is there anything that you would like to share before we get off? Maybe just around, you know, intuitive eating or your body, like what, anything that you would like to share?
You know, if anything that I've said resonates with you, if you have any other questions, if this is something, if something inside of you is saying, yes, this makes sense, this is right for me, then I just encourage you to the first place you can start is to go through your social media and go ahead and start following some people who inspire you using keywords like food freedom and intuitive eating and all foods fit and healthy at every size. And delete or unfollow or clean out the people who are not bringing you high vibes, people who aren't inspiring you to think differently, who aren't giving you permission to think differently. Because if you're looking at a feed that's keeping you trapped in the same version of you and it's bringing you a low vibration, it's making you compare yourself to others, it's making you judge yourself for the things that you're doing, you're going to stay trapped. And social media is the number one thing that keeps us trapped. So that's what I would recommend. If you're feeling awakened by this, clean out your feed, start reaching out and connecting with higher level thinking. Put yourselves in rooms with women who are thinking the ways that you want to think, who are inspiring you to think differently. Mm-hmm. And if you want any more information around this, the group coaching program is always available to you. You can reach out to me in the DMs and learn some more about release and reclaim, where, you know, you can really release the weight for good and reclaim your body for yourself.
So. Mm-hmm. I love this. I love the work you're doing. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And, you know, I feel like this needs to be taught more. I'm just really excited because this month, all my podcast and interviews are all food freedom coaches but they're all like different. You guys all have different ways of teaching it, and your styles are different. And I feel like it's so funny because I've been doing these themes like for the months. Like last month I did intuitive coaches, healers, and then this month
cool.
Food freedom and just like coaches about, you know, your body image and stuff like that. So yeah, so I'm excited to have everyone hear this episode and just be able to learn. I'm learning a lot. I feel like there's so much that I, you know, want to keep, you know, learning and improving in myself, my body image, around my weight. And just, you know, I feel like it's a very important thing as a woman. I think so many of us struggle with this, and, you know, just bringing that self-awareness piece to it is so powerful. So thank you for
so welcome
sharing.
Welcome. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
Oh, of course. Thank you girls for joining us today. If you guys have any questions, I'll definitely put more information. You can contact Candace, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Hey girls, if you can do me a favor and just stop what you're doing, screenshot this episode and share it with a friend. This helps me out so much, you guys, to grow my platform, get the message out, and help other women that you think would really enjoy this. Also, if you haven't had a chance to rate my podcast, you can head over to iTunes. It takes a couple seconds just to quickly leave me a review. A 5-star review would be amazing. And I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to my messages, to listen to this podcast, and really just spend time with me. It means the world to me.